It was a tumultuous time in the history of Israel. Moses, Aaron, Miriam, Joshua were leading the people of God through the wilderness out of, for them, what seemed like the relative comfort of slavery, which must have been really bad in the wilderness if they thought the slavery of Egypt was better. And they were on the foot of the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, or also called Mount Horeb. And Moses was up at the top of the mountain in a cloud. And they thought to themselves, great, Moses has abandoned us here in the wilderness. What are we supposed to do now? God has obviously abandoned us. And so what did they do when they were scared? They turned to false images and false idols. They gathered up some of the gold, some of the earrings, some of the jewelry of the people. Aaron, my namesake, melted it down and fashioned a golden cow out of their jewelry and said, here is your gods, the God who brought you out of Egypt. The people were scared, and so they fashioned false idols for themselves. Now Moses came down from the mountain and saw this and dashed in his anger the first tablets that God had written the law on at the foot of the mountain. He made the people eat the golden calf. He ground it up and put it in water and made them drink it. But God wasn't done with those people. Moses reminded God that indeed God had promised to watch over these people, though God was angry and his wrath burned against them. And Moses went back up the mountain. And this is where we hear the story about his face shining. Moses went back up the mountain, listened to God. God was up there. He was in God's presence without a veil. And as God was speaking to him, the glory of the Lord shone upon Moses, and he glowed with the glory of God and came down, and the people saw that Moses indeed was in God's presence. And it was scary to them. But this time, instead of turning away from God's shining presence and glory, they turned toward God. And were reminded by Moses' bringing God's word that God indeed was with them, had not abandoned them, and that God had instructions for them, that though they had disobeyed God and worshipped false idols and false images, God gave them a repeat lesson, reiterated the instructions to them, said, this is how I want you to live in holiness before me. It was a tumultuous time then when Elijah took his trip up to Mount Sinai, up to Mount Horeb. Elijah had been sent by God to King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And just before the story where Elijah ascends to the mountain, Elijah had killed all the false prophets, all the priests who worshipped the other false gods. Because in that time, in that tumultuous time, it had been just like the Israelites at the foot of Mount Sinai. They were scared. They were scared of their neighbors. They were scared of foreigners. They were scared of outsiders. They were scared that they wouldn't have enough and that people would come and conquer them. And so what did they do? They turned to false idols and false images. And again, the kings and the leaders of Israel created a golden calf one more time. And Elijah came in and said, no, that is not what God wants. But the king Ahab and the queen Jezebel chased him away and threatened his life. And so Elijah ran to the mountain of God, to Mount Horeb, to Mount Sinai. And there he spoke with God, and God encountered him and reminded him that God indeed was present. For Elijah went before God and said, God, I'm the only one left. No one cares about you. It's just me. All your people have turned away from you. The king and the queen, they care nothing for you. They set up false idols. And the whole endeavor is done. But God came to Elijah in the silence of that mountain and spoke to him and assured him, no, there indeed are people who worship me still, and I will be with you. In fact, you think the king and the queen rule? No, 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 Elijah. You, by my word, you will set up kings. In Syria, in Aram, you're going to set up a king. In Judah, you will set up a new king. And you will appoint another prophet like you, Elisha. Do not worry. Remember who is really in charge. And so now we come to another tumultuous time in the story today, where it is Peter, James, and John's turn to climb the mountain with Jesus. And up there, they meet two other gentlemen who also climbed the mountain, who I just told you about. It was a tumultuous time then, a tumultuous time where Israel, again, was in turmoil. The people of God were scattered throughout the world. There was a temple, but it seemed to be ruled by people who worshiped the false gods of Rome. And many people were led astray towards false images and false idols. Jesus himself even encountered this when he was talking with the disciples. Because even though Peter made the confession that Jesus was the Messiah, Peter did not understand what that meant. Peter had in his mind that this meant a new kingdom in the style of Solomon or King David, a kingdom of power and wealth, of armies and gold. Peter did not understand what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah. And so Peter wanted to know, in this tumultuous time, what would God be doing? Where was God going to be present? And Jesus told him, Jesus said, the Son of Man will be betrayed. He will suffer and die, and on the third day rise again. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, Jesus said, will save it. Whoever seeks to gain the whole world will lose it, Jesus reminded them. But they could not perceive it. They could not see the glory of God behind what Jesus was saying. And it was at this time, when they were questioning in their hearts, who could this be, that they went up to the mountain. And there again, the glory of the Lord was manifest in Jesus, with his face shining, his clothes shining, the word of God speaking to them in the cloud. And though they were terrified, it was indeed God who was there terrifying them. They were afraid. Just like the people of Israel back in Moses' time, just like Elijah was in his time. But there on the mountain, they encountered God, and God again reminded them that God was present in Jesus. And God reminded them how they should go forward. And so when they come down from the mountain, Jesus reminds them again, even though he's frustrated, just like God was frustrated with the Israelites and the golden calf, even though Jesus is frustrated, he sticks with him, heals the boy. And then in the very next episode, the disciples are having the same old argument, the stiff-necked, just like their ancestors. Who will be the greatest, they're arguing about. And Jesus says, it's not about that. And he takes a little child and he says, whoever wants to enter the kingdom of God must be like this little child. Whoever is the greatest amongst you must be the least and servant of all. And just like Moses on the mountain and Elijah on the mountain, God reminds them again, I am with you, and this is how you move forward. This is how you move forward. That the glory revealed in the face of Christ is revealed also in this way of being a servant. In our time, it's easy when there is tumult and frightening things to be distracted towards false idols, just like our ancestors. It would be an easy thing to do, and is an easy thing to do. And there's nothing new under the sun. But each Sunday, Christ is inviting you again to come into his presence. Each moment of every day, in fact, Christ is inviting you to come into his presence, to be reminded by him and his spirit, like St. Paul says, that the spirit is Lord and it is the spirit that is operating, that we don't need a veil. St. Paul reminds us. But we are in God's presence, the Spirit's presence. So I invite you, today is the last Sunday in Epiphany, and Lent begins. We are on the precipice, the doorway, into a new way of thinking now as we prepare for Easter. I want you to pray that when fear and confusion seek to draw you towards false idols, pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you the glorious face of Christ again and again and again, each day. Amen.